It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Joining us on the line is the good Elder. Good afternoon to you, Elder, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Okay, thank you so much. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to our dear listeners world over. It's good to have you this time around and this afternoon as well, as we continue to look at the subject of baptism. Indeed. With particular focus today on the controversies and debates that have taken place in Christendom, taking place right now, and have taken place as we basically revisit the pages of history.
Indeed, indeed. So when we were studying and taught about baptism, the elder taught us about the meaning of the word baptism, as we take it from the Latin, from the Greek to the Latin, Latin to the English. We now are realizing that there are a lot of people who had different viewpoints, different perspectives. These controversies and debates surrounding baptism continue even today to evolve as theological perspectives shift and denominations grapple with questions related to the scriptural interpretation, tradition, and the contemporary context. So that's why we are having this conversation on what these controversies are and what the debates are exactly. So point us to these controversies and debates, Mdaru Simalambo. What are these controversies? What are these debates?
Okay, there's a document that I was reading about, a research that was conducted by Francis Kayoba from Andrews University. So it was looking at Martin Luther's understanding of faith in relation to infant baptism.
Okay.
So in that particular document, he brings out some of the controversies that were prominent at the time of Martin Luther, when there is the great Protestant movement, the great reformations that are taking place during the Dark Ages period. Now, number one, one of the points of controversy was on the issue of faith. So it was debated whether for one to be baptized, they needed to have faith, or they would just have that sacrament. Then at the point of being baptized, that is when they would actually be justified. Mm. They would be declared righteous. Their sins would actually be forgiven. There was also a debate on the age at which one should be baptized, whether infants should be baptized or not. And according to how Martin Luther was actually arguing, he argued that infants can actually be baptized. Then we also are introduced to individuals like John Calvin. John Calvin also entertained the idea that infants could actually be baptized. In fact, he suggests that infant baptism is a means of grace. And one reason that infants should now be baptized, just as babies in the Old Testament were circumcised, is because God pours out his grace in greater measure and clarity upon his church as it did upon Israel. So, and there was also much debate as you review the documents of Luther as what would actually constitute faith, whether faith would just be a mere intellectual assent, or faith would actually be a saving, trusting relationship with God that is actually demonstrated also through works. For he would say, okay, like James would say, faith without works is dead. So faith in God would actually be demonstrated in acts such as baptism, where one would actually be able to show clearly that they have faith in God, they are becoming part of the family of God and entering into this newness of life. So there have been quite a number of debates that have surrounded Christendom in that vein as well. And also on how baptism would actually be administered, whether it would be by immersion, by aspersion, or by effusion. Okay?
Yeah.
Whether one would be baptized by sprinkling, whether one would be baptized by being poured a liquid on them, or a fluid or water on them, or whether one would actually be immersed or submerged in water. Mm. So these are some of the controversies that have taken place in Christendom. And interesting enough, even today, when you visit different churches in different places and the like, we find that different ways in which a baptism is administered. Some have even gone to the extent where one would actually be baptized by passing under a flag, or one would actually be baptized by passing through fire.
Yeah. So you mentioned these reformers, Martin Luther and John Calvin. I'm sure there are others. So how did their contribution to the debate happen, or what was their contribution? Did they arrive at a consensus? I mean the issue of infant baptism, was there a consensus? Did they, when they talk about the correlation between baptism of infants and the circumcision of infants, was there a consensus? How did the reformers contribute to the debate? Did they contribute to a level of a consensus, or did they leave it to us to resolve it?
Okay. So it is interesting to note that there was not much of an agreement, and that is why we still have these controversies that are taking place.
Okay.
So some, for example, like the Anabaptists.
Yeah.
Some believed that based on how they had studied scripture, faith was a necessary prerequisite or requirement for one to be baptized. So they believe that before I am baptized, I must be instructed, and when I'm instructed, I must base my faith based on the instruction that I've been given, because they argued, like Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when one would accept the teaching of teaching of Christ and about Christ as based in scripture, and they would confess their sins and exercise faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, then they would be justified and they would be forgiven. And as they continue to believe on the word of God, as stated even in Mark, he that believes and is baptized, when they would believe and they would be justified, as an outward demonstration of the inward change that had actually taken place, they would be accepted into the Christian faith. So they held on to that belief, and they contradicted what other reformers like Martin Luther had actually taught. Though when you visit the writings of Luther, you'd find that when he's addressing, for example, Catholicism and how it had put much emphasis on sacraments and how empty the sacraments had become, because it was merely like just a ritual that is being performed, a fulfillment of duty, which lacked faith. And he says faith must have a key role in the experience of a believer, even in relation to grace and salvation. So he hinges on that particular point. And when he's talking to the Anabaptists, he's actually arguing against the emphasis overemphasis on faith. And he's saying that is in and of itself a work when you're overemphasizing faith. And because they could not be able to agree on certain points, from the mainstream church, the church that had actually apostatized, left its true faith, there were different groups that had actually sprouted out of the faith. So that is why those that would still hold on to believe, to say we cannot baptize infants and infant baptism is not biblical and we can only baptize by immersion, later on formed a group, and they were later on known as the Baptists. Then we have others also, like the Lutherans also, who held on to the teachings of Martin Luther, formed their own sect. We also have the Presbyterians and many others that formed different groupings that still exist even up to date.
So
there wasn't much that was actually agreed on.
Yeah.
Those that agreed on certain points would group themselves and follow the teachings of scripture, but those that did not agree and follow the dictates of their minds and the traditions that were prevailing then formed their own groupings, and up to date some of them still exist.
So what is the position of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for example, on baptism of infants?
Okay, that's a very good question. So the view of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is biblically sound, is that, number one, there is no specified age in Scripture when one can be baptized, but for one to be baptized, they must confess their sins and they must repent and they must be baptized. So the question is, if you are talking about infants. Infants have not reached a level of accountability where they can be able to easily tell what is wrong and what is right. Mm. They cannot be able to do that. So if they can, they have not yet reached that level of accountability, they cannot confess their sins. And no one can confess sins on their behalf, because sins must be confessed personally, they must be confessed individually.
Right.
So, in fact, in scripture, there is no example that we can pick of an individual that was baptized as an infant.
Right.
When you read, for example, the experience of Christ, Christ was baptized when he was at the age of 30. When you look at the experience of John when he's preaching the gospel in the River Jordan to those coming, the elderly are the ones that were confessing their sins and they were being baptized. There's no record of an infant that was baptized. When you look at the experience of the early church, even after they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when their hearts are pricked and they confess their sins, it is adults that were baptized. When we keep on reading, even as we come to the experience of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, it is an adult that is baptized, not an infant. So there is no record in scripture of an infant that is baptized, and that is the view that is held even by the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah.
That only those that have reached an age of accountability and they accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior and they exercise faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ can be baptized.
So, hey, I see there's a great deal of fragmentation here. In what ways did the debates on this baptism contribute to the fragmentation of the Christian church during the Reformation?
Okay. So, during the Reformation, as we can see, because some people could not hold to certain beliefs and they still wanted to hold beliefs, some which were not even biblically sound, they decided to separate and form different groups. And they'll be able to base their beliefs based on what they had understood from a scripture. And that is why, time and again, I've been saying that is one of the reasons why we've got different denominations.
Right.
The different congregations in Christendom today, based on how people have interpreted the scriptures and how they've applied the teachings of the scriptures. So clearly, views that are held by the Seventh-day Adventist Church are biblically sound when it comes to baptism of the elderly or those that have reached an age of accountability, as well as baptism of by immersion.
Okay.
And because of its clearly biblical connection that it actually has, we also share the same belief even with the Baptist, who believe in baptizing by immersion. Now let me also put it this way, that when it comes to Christian practice, we are only safe when we base our Christian practice on the truth as it is stipulated in God's word.
Right.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Yeah. Let's talk about now the relationship between baptism and salvation. How did the early Christians, especially during the times of these guys, Augustine, how do they perceive the role of baptism in the process of salvation?
Okay. So, number one, what they believed is that faith was a necessary prerequisite for one to be baptized, and that we receive faith not as a result of us human beings manufacturing it, but faith is as a result of the work of God in the human heart. So faith is basically a gift that we receive from God by his grace. So they clearly believed that we cannot work ourselves into salvation. Salvation is a gift that we receive freely from God as a result of exercising faith
in
him.
Right.
And that this is not just a one-time event, but the faith by which we are saved is the faith by which we are justified, basically, is the faith by which we are saved. In that we should, this faith is not just a mere acknowledgement of God's truth, but it is a trusting, saving relationship with God. And this is a relationship that must be cultivated on a daily basis. So this is one thing that is actually emphasized. And that is why when we visit even scripture, we clearly realize that a demonstration of faith in God is also seen through one being baptized, but that baptism is not a guarantee of salvation.
Right.
Because it is possible for one to be baptized and yet be lost if they do not maintain a saving, trusting relationship with God.
Okay.
And this is also demonstrated through the experience of the children of Israel. When we visit, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, we are told that the children of Israel were baptized into Moses. It's talking about their experience as they are crossing the Red Sea. That was like a symbolic of a baptism experience.
Okay.
Yet with many of them, God was not pleased with them. And with the majority of them, they perished in the wilderness, and only two among the elderly entered into the promised land.
Okay.
Even though they had experienced the baptism experience, yes. So this is what was argued even by these believers, that faith was central to one's experience when it comes to baptism. And that baptism was not just a mere sacrament, but that it signified also a demonstration of one's faith in God. So faith was central to one's salvation, and that faith is as a result of not as a result of man's work, but it is as a result of God's work in the human heart.
Okay.
And that is why scripture says basically faith is a gift that received from God.
Yeah. Okay. And then my final question, how did these early controversies we're talking about today influence later theological development on the relationship between faith, grace, and baptism?
Okay, very interesting question. Number one, they influenced the idea as to whether faith is something that we acquire through divine grace, or faith is something that is acquired through human freedom. So there's been much debate about that as well. Then they also informed debates, for example, as to what the act of baptism really does, whether when one is baptized, the original sin of man is forgiven or not. So these are some of the controversies that have actually taken place. And the issue also of infant baptism, which is practiced even among some today, and is quite unfortunate because it is not scripturally sound or scripturally based. So it's future debates, theological debates, about one's relationship with God and the role of salvation, the role that baptism plays in salvation, have actually been looked at as well. But from the point of view of scripture, as we clearly read in Mark chapter 16, we clearly know that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So there's the aspect of belief, and one exercises faith in the instruction of God. And this is still the working of God, because it is the goodness of God. Like, for example, Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "For it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance." So one believes, the goodness of God leads them to repentance, to realize how sinful they are. They confess their sins, still the work of God. And they accept the gift of salvation, still the work of God. They are declared righteous. They are baptized, and they continue to walk with God in faith, which is still the work of God. So we are cooperating with God as he continually works in our hearts. So amidst all these debates, our only safe haven, our only safe place is "a thus saith the Lord," scripture and scripture alone.
Indeed, indeed. Got it loud and clear. Please, Mdala, pray for us before we part ways.
Okay, shall we pray? Our loving, gracious Father in heaven, we thank you this afternoon for your goodness, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy that you continually shower upon our lives. Amen. We acknowledge, gracious Father, that we are only safe when we base our Christian experience, our Christian practice, our Christian life on nothing but a thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Because all other ground is sinking sand, except we base our faith on your truth, because your word is unchangeable, your word is true, your word is sure, your word is holy, your word is righteous. and all your works are in judgment. We pray that, gracious Father, whatever our belief is, whatever our practice is, whatever our faith is, may it be solely based on Scripture. And if we come to realization that our practice is not based on Scripture, may we relinquish it and embrace the truth as it is in Christ and follow your path. Because we are only safe when we are in your way. We pray that, Lord, you may accept us to fully accept this truth and to embrace it and to practice it. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mdala. Appreciate your time. Have a good day. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you so much. Enjoy your day, dear listeners. Okay. Bye.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.